You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggi on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. I'm a little bit calm today because tomorrow is Election Day.
Yes.
And I took my Mahatma Gandhi pill. So I'm nice and cheery and calm.
You did such an excellent job through this campaign, Sita. And I know because I heard it from all of my friends as well and all the folks that were in the community, what a great job you were doing and how visual, you know, how that you're visible.
Yeah,
you're
I like to share everybody. Stuff.
You did.
That share button on Facebook was created just for me.
Amen, sister. Great job.
So for our friends who are tuning in today, we've got a really great show planned. As usual, our show is fun. It's unscripted. It's very informative. And boy, what do we find out from great guests that are coming on today? We have a call-in guest that's going to be calling in. I'm not sure if he's calling in from Manhattan or El Paso, but his name is Mr. Charlie Min, and he is a filmmaker who's going to be calling in to talk about a few of his films, but most importantly, the one he just made about the Parkland shooting. And Laura said it perfect. It's victim driven. So he's going to talk about what happened inside of the building while everything was going on. And we all know, we hear about the name of the shooter all the time. We hear about his background. We hear about where he lived, how he grew up, and all these things. The fellow with the name Cruz, I try not to remember his name, but it is Cruz something. Yeah. And so he made this film, and I saw him on the news. I'm not sure which one of the news outlets, but I contacted him and I said, wow, you're amazing. I'd love to have you call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and speak about your documentary. So he's going to be calling in to talk a little bit about what happened inside the building. And then in our studio sitting next to us, we have the good folks from No Limit Academy.
Academy.
That's my Trinidadian
That's
thing
your
coming
Trinidadian
at
thing.
I knew you were going to correct me with that.
Well, yeah. Just trying to get you on the right syllable.
Oh, no, you can do it. You can do it. It's fine. And so we have two Lauras. We have Laura Lee and we have Laura Jocelyn who are here. And I'm amazed that this place has been in Melbourne for so long and it's the largest place for physical therapy for children.
Correct.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the largest pediatric rehabilitation clinic in all of Central Florida.
Right. So Laura Lee, thank you for setting this up for us.
You're welcome.
We're so appreciative. We have such wonderful friends, Ellen, that we reach out to us to come on the show and share such valuable information.
Definitely.
We're very honored.
Right.
Well, same as you, Sita. I mean, I have somebody that could have benefited from from Laura's programs and didn't know about it. So this is fantastic for me, too.
Well,
never too late.
Well, we'll know going forward.
That's right. Never too late.
And so, but before Charlie calls in, I just want to say, well, for all the people who are running for office, we applaud you. I mean, thank you, whether you're Republican or Democrat or Independent, the hard work and sacrifice that people have put into these campaigns, putting their lives on hold, doing so much reading about the issues, and trying to make our world a kinder, gentler place. You know, I just want to say thank you. Whether I win or lose or draw tomorrow, I feel like if the good Lord calls me home today or tomorrow, I've done my best on earth, right? And so
the nice thing is it doesn't change for you. You either go to Tallahassee and you're going to do the same thing that you do here in Brevard County, which makes you such a unique person.
Yeah, it's all about advocacy, right?
Absolutely. And you stand up for people when you're here as well. So you've always been an advocate. You've always used your voice for good. So, like I said, whether it's in Tallahassee, which is obviously going to make a greater impact if you're in Tallahassee, when you're in Tallahassee, I should say. But certainly, if I go, right? if it doesn't happen and you wind up staying here, you're still going to be a great advocate for all of those people that need a voice.
Well, you know, this election, to me, this time around, it's in midterms. And I don't think it's about whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. It's about whether you're human. And are you satisfied with your life the way it is right now, your family's life, your neighbors, your friends? If you know someone who don't have health care, are you concerned? If you know someone who can't afford their rent, their mortgage, their car payments, insurance for their home, that's a problem. So look around you. Don't vote for people just because they have name recognition or they're Republican or Democrat. It's about the issues. And for the party that's going to say, do you have a livable wage? Do you have health care? Can you afford to take time off and take care of a sick relative? I mean, these are things that are affecting people all the time. And, you know, some people try to sweep it under the rug, but there are real issues.
Right.
And public education. I mean, we all see what's happening. We've got people not even going into the teaching profession anymore because they're not paid enough. Some teachers have to work couple of jobs to make ends meet, and you know, I think people need to stop thinking about those who spread fear and division. That's not what America is about. It's about all of us being in this earth together, and some of us are blessed to be in the United States.
And just a reminder that local politics is what changes things. The president and all of the cabinet and all of the stuff that's on the national news does not affect me as much as it does of the local
politicians. Well, that has a fear factor.
Right,
you know, right. When we see victims of gun violence, when we see what's happening with people who shouldn't have had a gun kill someone, we all get worried and scared because it can happen, and it does. It happened right here in our backyard.
It's happened.
In Parkland, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is...
it happens right here in our backyard in Pompeii, so...
Yes, and
you
Tallahassee.
Know. Yeah,
there was a
exactly
shooting in Tallahassee. So I think people need to start paying attention. I mean, national news brings the attention, the issues to you right in your living room. Mm-hmm. But what's going on around your community, the Indian River Lagoon, right, public education... people who don't have health care. Those are the things that are very, very important. And I think we have really great candidates on both sides that are running who want to make a difference.
That's right.
And so I run into people all the time, and someone saw me yesterday at one of the nicer grocery chains, and he came up to me, and I'm like, oh, he's reading my shirt. And so he says, oh, you're a Democrat. And would you like to give me some food stamps? And I said, no. You know, you look pretty able-bodied to me. I said, but I'll tell you what I will do for you. I will encourage you to make sure we have a great public education system, that you take care of the environment, be responsible for your family and yourself. We'll give you education to do those things. That's what Democrats do. And he's like, wow. You know, I mean, you just have to tell people the truth. And, you know, and then I ran into someone who said, well, you're going to be taxing people like Andrew Gillum. And I said, no, unless your corporation... Don't worry about it. What he's talking about is taxing the top corporations so that they pay their fair share because they benefit from people when they're educated. When you have an education, you apply for a job, whether it's a vocational training or whatever it is. You go and you fill out an application and you get a job and they pay you a wage. Well, guess what? You don't get that education off the street. You have to get it from a school, public school, charter school, whether it's a No Limit Academy, private school. So the thing is, people are so misinformed. So I just say, you know, don't be. If you have a question about something, that's what Google is for. Go read it up.
Or call somebody.
I know,
And have an intelligent conversation with them about it.
I know, yesterday I was canvassing, and I shouldn't be by myself. You know, because it's, you know, people are looking at you when you're out walking, knocking on their doors, and it's Sunday, and this man was on this motorbike, and he says, so, Amendment 4, he's all concerned that felons are going to be getting their rights back to vote. And he said, I don't want murderers voting. And I said, but sir, they're not. Amendment 4 says nothing about giving murderers back the ability to vote. It's about nonviolent people. And I said, you ought to read it. So I whipped out my phone, I pulled it up, and I read it to him. And he says, oh, I'm going to think about this before I vote on Tuesday. So I think that's what it's good to have proper information, you know, so... You taught me all about the web and all the great things that we could find out from whatever we want to talk about.
And the second you've after made I told you there was a 13-year-old that changed it. I was sitting home going, let's see, what, how can we change this?
So while we're waiting for Mr. Charlie Min to call in, I hope we told him Eastern Time. Oh, my goodness. Everybody knows that. We've had issues before with people calling in, and they don't call in on Eastern Time.
So while we're getting the call from Charlie Min, we can't have the dead air time.
I know. I was just sitting there. I'm like, I tell you, my
like,
mind.
Yeah, you can't just wait for somebody to answer the phone.
Yeah, but that's a good thing. But that's why you're there.
That's right.
So I think it's great to have guests that call in on a show, whether it's from in and around the United States. We've had people call in from Canada as well. We had a monk call in once from Canada. Is that him?
No. Nope.
He's not? Oh, well, goodness.
Yeah, we did have a monk calling from Canada.
That was nice. Well, he taught us a lot about a kinder, gentler world.
That's right.
Which was really nice.
So let's talk a little bit about No Limits Academy until Charlie calls in, and I will text him while you guys are chatting about the school and how people can get involved.
Well, what I learned about No Limits Academy, they provide an individually tailored, multidisciplinary approach to the treatment and education of children with cerebral palsy, spinal cord injuries, and other physical disorders. And I was very impressed when Laura just told us that she's getting clients, children, I don't know if you call them clients or children. From all over the world.
Right.
So tell us, so go ahead, we probably should just get started. So like Ellen said, we wouldn't have any dead air because every second on this radio costs us something,
that's
Ellen.
Right.
So let's get started with Laura.
Sure.
So tell us a little bit about yourself first to begin with, and then we'll talk about the school.
So I guess it started, you know, many years ago with the birth of my son, Shane, and who had spastic cerebral palsy. And being told that there was no hope for Shane. There was no end to his disability. There would be no way to get him educated or rehabilitated because of the severity of the brain injury. And that just drove me. It actually drove me harder. And as I watched the people around me, as I was trying to figure out my son's situation, I realized that there was multiple components to the situation. One, that there wasn't enough rehabilitation and proper rehabilitation for brain-injured children. So 15 years ago, I opened, with my late husband, Ability Plus Therapy, which is right here in Melbourne, Florida. And we have 22 therapists that are OTs, PTs, and speech therapists. We're actually neuro-trained, so we see a large population of neurodevelopment, you know, the lack of neurodevelopment, brain injuries, spinal cord injuries, all physical disabilities. We also, 8 years ago, we also co-founded, my business partner, Roberta Neves, and I co-founded No Limits Academy because we saw the lack of, in the systems across not only the state, but the country, and I have even seen it in other countries, that there isn't a particular way to educate children with brain injuries. So
It is challenging.
It's challenging.
And for parents, too, to have such a place like this in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. So, and then you have my good friend Laura Lee, who set this up, is here. And you were telling us when we first sat in the studio how you met Laura. Two Laura's meeting is wonderful. So tell us a little bit about how you, what you found out when you were looking for a place for your son.
So we'll go step back a little bit. I have a set of twins, Nicole and Nathan. And Nathan was born with preventricular leukomalacia, which is technically brain damage, which affects his speech, his physical, and cognitive learning. And he was going through public school, but they were telling him that this is as good as he's going to get. And of course, that's not what your parents wants to hear. So I reached out and found No Limits Academy. And Nathan,
how did you find it? Because
I did a lot of research.
I didn't even know it was here in Melbourne.
Looking for schools that were private schools that helped with physical challenged children and disabilities. And I found one. And I said, okay, I read everything about it. It sounded like it was going to be a fit for Nathan. Took him in and took off.
What was it about the school that he liked right away? Because it seems as though it clicked.
It was very open, and it was treat him just like anybody else. And we also seen that they teach each child, and what I've learned is they teach each child to their ability. It's not a classroom of six, and everybody learns the same way.
So it's tailored for each child. So each child has a care plan, like that plan of care is for that child. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And, like, my son likes to move. So, you know, so they'll put him on a swing and let him swing, but also learn his ABCs. And, you know, so he's having something stimulate him, but also as he's learning.
Right, right. And what I like about you all, too, Laura Jocelyn, is No Limits Academy, the classroom environment has a teacher. You have a teacher's aides along with a therapy tech in each classroom.
Well, our therapy tech would float through the whole school.
Okay.
Making sure that we have children up and out of their wheelchairs so that we are more conducive to their learning environment. It's actually our No Limits method. So the way that we formulate every classroom, and our classrooms are based on cognition. And so we have anywhere from the lowest cognitive level to the highest, where they're dual enrolled in Eastern Florida State, you know, and No Limits Academy taking regular classes. But to work on the children that are nonverbal, low motor functioning, and getting them to interact with their education is our goal. And it is, as actually we have research over a decade now that says that what we're doing is improving their lives.
So I bet you have a lot of success stories.
Yes.
Do you have one in particular that stands out?
I have a little girl that actually helped us connect the communication portion of our school. And this little girl was in therapy, and she was literally reading the bracelet of the therapist that was treating her. And she was trying to answer the question for the bracelet. And so as she was doing that, the therapist grabbed the Apple iPad, and she was typing out the answer to the bracelet. And that's when we knew, and it clicked with us, that we needed to connect communication on every level to their education. And that was groundbreaking.
It is. Well, Ellen, I think we have Mr. Charlie Min on the phone. And sorry, Laura, so we'll come right back.
Yeah, we're going to come right back.
We're going to come right back to our good friends with No Limit Academy in a little bit, and we'll talk more about the children that you all are helping. And I can't believe we were sitting with you guys. Laura has she is the CEO of the largest rehabilitation company in Central Florida, and having students from all over the world come right here to Melbourne, Florida to get assistance with cerebral palsy, other disabilities. You're doing a wonderful thing. So we'll continue talking to you in a minute. But so, Ellen, we've got on the phone Charlie Min, who is a victim-driven filmmaker who splits his time between Manhattan and El Paso. And we said that before. We weren't sure where he was calling in from.
Good afternoon,
solve the mystery.
Charlie. Hi. How are you? I'm in El Paso, so I got thrown off with the time.
We figured. That's why I said to Ellen, I said, did we remind him it was Eastern time? Because we've had this happen before where people don't realize it's Eastern time. So, Charlie, welcome to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are on FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. And we're also on an AM station, WWBC. And Ellen will post all the links to where people can get a podcast of this show with you, as well as with the two Lauras. So go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. Hello, Charlie. Did we lose him?
We might have.
Now I'm going to chat that we don't want to have any dead. So Charlie, we were just telling our listeners a little bit about you. So tell us about yourself.
Well, I think you already did, right?
We sure did.
We didn't know
if you wanted to add anything to that, because you know your bio is extensive. I went on the website this morning and I looked at some of the documentaries that you've produced. Thank you. You're brilliant, and we appreciate all that you're doing to bring awareness to the victims of all these crimes, from Pulse Nightclub to Parkland. So tell us a little bit about the film. Why did you make this film?
I thought that all the attention was given to people that were not inside the building, like the activists. I mean, we really need to make this clear. As much as, with all due respect to the activists, they were never inside the building. They were not ducking bullets. They were not seeing their classmates get shot. They weren't running. They weren't hiding. And a lot of the people from inside the building do carry some resentment towards the activists because they barely get acknowledged by them. I just want to be completely transparent here. I'm completely victim-driven. I'm all for the people that were inside the building, not outside the building. Inside is the key word. So that's why the film was made, because I felt as if their stories had not come out yet. So that's why the title of the movie is called Inside Building 12.
And you're absolutely correct, because all the news channels were carrying stories about the teen gunman who was accused of opening fires. And I remember his last name was Cruz, because we saw it so much. But nobody actually bothered to ask the teacher who was shielding the students on the steps or in the closet or under the desk. Nobody bothered to ask them anything about how they felt.
Correct. The media is obsessed with the killer. If you ask the average person who follows the news, can you name the Parkland shooter, they'd probably go one for one. If the next question is, can you name one person out of the 34 shot, they'd probably go 0 for 34. So we need to change that whole dialogue.
I certainly agree. And of course, and then we had, political pundits from both sides of the political theater, Democrat, Republicans, everybody, the NRA. We saw everybody trying to put in their two cents what we should do about gun reform and safety for children and everything. And actually, that was one of the reasons why I jumped into my race, because I didn't think we should be arming teachers in our schools, but that's a different story. So tell us, how has the showings gone so far of Inside Building 12?
It's been great. The first week that it played at Coral Springs, it was the number one movie at that theater, at the Paragon Coral Springs, where it's playing now. It's right by the mall in Coral Springs. And this past weekend, the movie was third out of eight films, which is still pretty good, because I'm going up against studio films like Bohemian Rhapsody. So I'm going up against Queen. But the week before that, I was beating Lady Gaga, Now Halloween. So the movie is still playing at that theater, Paragon Coral Square in Coral Springs, and it most likely will be playing through the weekend. And for more information, people can go on the website, insidebuilding12.com. 12 is the 1-2 numbers.
Well, Charlie, thank you for calling in, and I just want our listeners to know that we are very honored to have a person such as yourself calling on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. So a lot of us remember that 17 people were killed and another 14 were wounded. But not every
17 wounded.
17 were killed, and they said 14 were wounded.
No, 17 were wounded. It was 17. 34 were shot.
All right. So you see, you corrected that. I guess I just got this off one of our websites, and we all remember that he used an AR-15, and it seems to be the common gun. I have to say, assault weapon that these killers are using. So when you talk around the country and you're giving speeches and talking about the film, what do you hope that people will take away from the documentary?
Guts and humanity. I mean, the guts is the most beautiful part of a human being. If you have guts, people will respect you. Humanity, probably the most beautiful gift we can give this world. You could change people's lives. Humanity comes from the heart, not from your wallet. So this film is not about blood and gore. It's about guts and humanity and what these victims went through during an impossible situation when they were ambushed. So what happened in Parkland, Florida was not a political issue. It's an issue of humanity. And shame on those people who always try to politicize things right away for their own agenda. This is a humanity issue. It's not a political issue.
Right. And it looks, everybody talks about mental health, and we talk about how we miss the warning signs and things. But you're right. He was a human as well as the people inside of the building. And we see what the news media, they anything to make a quick buck, whatever they can do to have a headline, they'll do it. But I don't think that everybody after what we have, all these students are going to have issues later on. The teachers are going to have issues. And I think what your film does, it's humanizes the people inside of the building.
It gives a face to the victims, yes.
Right. And not mentioning the killer's name in the movie and showing the actual crime scenes on the video were two things that people was saying that they were trying to, there was a movement you were trying to start, because I noticed that on the news, some parents were upset because they haven't even seen the film, and they were saying, well, they don't want to see it. Or people in Florida were saying that, or just people who were in general. What do you say to those people who are saying things about the film and they haven't even seen it yet?
Yeah, I mean, I think to judge a film without seeing it is unfair. I mean, I don't know what they're judging. If you watch the film, then judge it all you want. And I'll listen to everything you have to say. But, you know, the movie's about guts and humanity. It's not about blood and gore. I don't mention the killer's name in the film because I think that creates copycats. That this dirtbag, this criminal, wanted attention in Parkland, and the shameless media gave it to him. We have to stop mentioning the killer's name. Yeah, the media is just—they're just obsessed with the killer, and that creates copycats. So I don't mention the killer's name in my films because that's exactly what the killer wants. In the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting, that killer addressed the Boston Marathon bomber during the shooting and how much he looked up to him. Well, the Boston Marathon bomber was placed on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. So if Rolling Stone doesn't do that, maybe the Pulse nightclub shooting doesn't happen. So if the media follows my lead, we might be saving innocent lives moving forward, because then killers would know going in, their name will never be mentioned again. In terms of the actual crime scene video, I think it's important that we see that so we all understand how truly bad this is, and that would spark action and change, not thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers don't do anything. That's for the birds. We need action, and we need change, and people have to go out there and vote.
Yeah, I mean, normally that's the first thing you see, a politician will come and say, so-and-so is offering his thoughts and prayers. Well, how about if you just offer some legislative action instead? I agree with that. And, you know, the thing is, we all come to the conclusion that this killer was just an evil person. And I don't think we talk enough about the evil of some of these people that do have access to guns. And why aren't we talking more about, you know, what should be done? We should be proactive. Background checks. You know, make sure that people who have domestic violence issues, anger management, they don't talk enough about how to prevent these kind of things. It's after the fact everybody wants to get on the bandwagon.
Well, unfortunately, today our society is we take reactionary measures rather than preventive measures. Reactionary measures, you can't bring the people back. Preventive measures, we could help save lives, but it's just typical of how the system works, and that is we take a reactionary measure rather than a preventive measure.
Right. And I saw in one of your interviews as well, you talked about giving back some of the proceeds from the film to some of the survivors, the victims as well, and the people that were inside Building 12.
Paragon, the theater, is donating their ticket sales to charity, Parkland Cares, along with some other organizations, I believe. So, you know, that's a good job by Paragon. I'm very happy that I collaborated with them.
Well, tell our listeners, where can they see all your films? Because I know we can see a lot of them is there on Amazon. You have,
yep.
You've made 27 documentaries since 2010, and 18 mm-hmm. of them are available on Amazon Prime. Where else can they find them?
Pretty much there. I mean, 2/3 of them are on streaming video, Amazon Prime. And then, of course, we have the film about Parkland that's playing now at Paragon Coral Square. And people could access the website for more information, insidebuilding12.com.
Well, we really appreciate having people like you that actually care not just about making a fast buck, but caring about humanity and how to make the world a safer, gentler kind of place. Thank you so much for calling in. And Ellen is going to put the link to the show as well as Amazon on our website,
yep.
So that we can bring more awareness to what you're doing, because you're not just doing this only for Parkland, but you did it for so many other events that have happened in here in the United States, tragic events, and you're bringing awareness.
And Mexico.
Yes, and yeah, you know what? I wanted you to call back another time, and we can talk more about that as well, because
sure.
I was amazed at how many documentaries. How long did it take you to make this Inside Parkland? Inside Building 12?
4 months.
Wow. Thank you. It's amazing what you've done. Well, thank you so much. And I think our producer is going to go to a quick break. And Ellen, you can take it from there.
Yep. We're going to hear from our sponsors real quickly, and then we'll be right back. Thank you so much, Charlie Min, for calling in and taking time out of your busy schedule. And we'll be right back with Laura and Laura Lee with the Ability Plus Therapy and No Limits Academy right after these messages.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on WWBC AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We had a really nice segment earlier where we started off with Laura Jocelyn and Laura Lee, and then Charlie Min called in and we talked a little bit about his film that he made about the victims of the Parkland shooting.
Yes.
And he's so right, because, you know, we never hear about them. We only hear about the shooter. We hear about the fathers and mothers who are now activists and advocates for gun violence reduction. But we never hear about that teacher in the stairwell or the child who was screaming, help me, with a cell phone in her hand. We don't.
That's right.
And it's nice to put a face on them, right? And so his film, that's what his film is all about. So this segment, of course, now we're going to talk a little bit more with Laura Jocelyn. And I love her bio. It's so sweet the way she wrote it up on this paper for me. It says, mom on a mission with two sons who have cerebral palsy. She's a founder and the marketing CEO of Ability Plus Therapy, Inc. And that's a beautiful place right here, No Limits Academy in Melbourne, Florida. And nobody knew about this place until this morning. I mean, we didn't.
Well, we didn't.
We didn't. And we want to bring...
We obviously...
I'm amazed.
Somewhat
because,
live under a rock,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I'm amazed because until Laura Lee brought it to my attention, I always thought that, you know, most children will get their whatever assistance they needed from the school system, or they would get it privately. And this is a private school in some sorts.
It is a private school. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about how No Limits Academy is funded.
So we're funded through the McKay Scholarship and the Gardner Scholarship, which was actually put forth by Governor Bush. And it is a way to have the innovation that needs to happen in certain parts of our disability communities, autism, cerebral palsy, to come to light. There needs to be a different move forward in actually how we teach children with cerebral palsy and autism.
Yeah. So what motivated you to go through the educational field and open a school for children with complex physical disabilities? Now, I understand you have your children,
right,
but this is beyond that.
Well, everyone needs to see, just like your previous caller, they need to see what was happening in the stairwell. They actually need to see what's happening in this area where children with cerebral palsy are left behind. They are left behind because they are complex and they need to be understood. They need to be studied. There needs to be the ability for them to be tested. There needs the ability for them to be equalized in our community and to be understood and to have a move forward in that. We take care of their needs. We have a few teachers in the country that are just stepping up and looking at the neuroscience behind, you know, how they're teaching. But there's not a solid method that would create that move forward for this whole entire population of children. And that's what No Limits Academy is doing.
Right.
Along
like
with
developing
that.
A protocol.
We
like
are.
A,
We're
yeah.
developing a protocol.
Yeah.
And we've already had a decade worth of testing. And so now we're going to that next level, awareness of these children have a potential and a future and hope. These parents have hope that their children can move ahead. Just like you heard Laura Lee say, she was at the end. There's not an end. Our children can continue to grow.
Right. And I don't think people understand until you walk in someone's shoe, Laura.
Absolutely.
You know, we're all taught, you know, we in our teens, we fall in love, we get married, we have children. Some don't. Some choose not to, right? Mm-hmm. But then if you have children, then you worry. It doesn't matter if the child is 0 years or 89 years, whatever. If you're a mom, you're going to worry. And so for some parents whose children's needs are not being met in public school, mm-hmm. you do have that worry. What if something happens to me? Then what with my child? So this school, No Limits Academy, give you an option where your child is not left behind.
Well, yes, and also, you know, when you have a child, you're not expecting, none of us are expecting that happens, that the child is disabled, nonverbal, has low motor function. That is not a reality, but a certain population of children and parents, that is a reality.
Remember Luke? Remember we had Luke's mom from Betsy
Farmer.
Right. Yeah. Every time we do a show like this, I think about Betsy Farmer.
Well, and
she did the same thing.
She created the promise.
Yeah, that's what she told us when she came on the show. She said, once you have a child who's got a disability or an issue, for the rest of your life, that is what consumes you.
Right.
Because you worry about that child. And if you should have to pass on from this earth, who is going to care for your child?
Right. Well, and we go from worry, like, and you know, to action. So a lot of times you have to move into that action, and so
but it's love. Love is the force that moves the universe.
Yes, love, the love of my children and wanting both my adopted and my biological child pushed me in this direction, and then organizing it and seeing, looking at my community and saying, and looking at the country and saying, hey, this needs to change, because if I can see it at this 10,000 feet level, just like Betsy did, I need to do something about it. I've been given an opportunity and the ability to make those changes.
Right, and talk is cheap. You really have to stand up for what you believe in. And so Laura Lee, how do you get Nicole involved in Nathan's in his school, in his environment, so that she, I mean, of course, she's always a bright child and she's learning from all of this. But how does it affect the other siblings and members of the family?
Well, with Nicole, I mean, we treat Nathan just as any, just a normal brother.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he has special needs. Yes, there's different things that his way him to communicate with others and things like that. But Nicole is also seeing what's there, but she's a giving child, and she does top soccer with special needs and helps children learn how to play soccer and what they can learn. She does Special Olympics, and she helps with the Special Olympics team as well. So she's also being there as a role model for typical children to see what is there as well. They have the ability to do just like we do. It may be just a little bit different.
Yes.
But they have the ability to do it as well.
Right. So she's influenced by what's going on around and what she can do for her brother as well.
Yep.
And so so Laura Jocelyn, we'll go back to the other Laura, because now we have to say Laura Lee and Laura Jocelyn. What do you see the future of your combined efforts achieving in the world of differently able children?
So we are now on the with the decade worth of research, moving toward a university research, connecting to universities, actually creating our own research facility that will combine neuroscience, psychology, philosophy, a multidisciplinary approach to kids with disabilities, and how the future looks for them. Because right now the future's not bright unless you're living close to No Limits Academy. Right. You either have that individual advocate out there as a parent advocate pushing their child forward, but not a system or a plan or a method to help you get there.
Yeah, it's a lot of hands-on, I notice.
Absolutely.
It is. And that's what the children need, because it's so challenging. Where do you get your referrals?
From all the wonderful physicians in Brevard County and then all over the country. Some of the top neurologists refer to Ability. And we've created a network with the Florida Brain Injury Network, and they refer most of their patients to us for our intensive pediatric physical therapy, which is how I got my son Shane from a quadriplegic to walking on hand canes through intensive pediatric physical therapy.
Wow, I'm amazed, because I had no idea this was here.
And there's no age, right? There's no age that you could start new things, right?
The brain is the plasticity of the brain is able to change no matter how old you are. They see it in stroke victims. They see it, and I believe the research that we're doing at No Limits Academy will actually just go out to the people that are stroke victims, disabled in any way, car accidents. I believe that it will cross lots of boundaries, because you're studying a child with a brain injury from birth to all the way through the educational system, and then all of the things that happen within that system. So I think it would help our veterans and traumatic brain injury coming back. To study this population of children will cross over to not only them and helping them, but helping a lot more.
Right.
So who are the folks? I mean, I know you're a big part of the research, but who are some of the other folks that are doing the research?
So our director of communication, that would be Chris Carey, and she's a speech-language pathologist. Dr. Tally Foster, who is our occupational therapist. Roberta Neves, who is our physical therapist. And, of course, my director of education, which is Jody Shea. So we have a whole entire multidisciplinary team.
Like a dream team.
It is, right there.
So now, do you have therapists available to go to the children's homes if they need it as well? And do you have like all full-time staff or some per diem?
So in our 15,000 square foot facility, we have some very unique equipment called the Universal Exercise Unit. Kind of looks like a Pilates cage, except for on steroids. We actually have them come to our facility because we have better. We can't really carry that cage. That we call it a cage, but it's a universal exercise unit. We're not putting kids in cages,
right?
So
yeah, that would not be a good.
But it kind of looks like that. So with the front open, but we ask them to come to the facility because basically we have better equipment to help with a spinal cord injury or a brain injury. In the home, you're limited to certain things.
Yeah, and you can't, and the equipment's probably really heavy too, right?
Yeah, so we have cutting edge equipment in our 15,000 square foot building, and so we don't do home health at this moment, but we do see all types of disabilities anywhere.
And can you recommend? Because I had been sharing with you some of the equipment that my family had purchased to help my nephew who had cerebral palsy. So is there like help with choosing what some things that could be home remedy thing? Hoyer lifts, for instance. Everybody needs a Hoyer lift.
All of our therapists, single one of our therapists, we have three DME companies that come in, and they would be on board with making home modifications. Yes.
Okay. And what about wheelchair, anybody that works on wheels? Because I know that was always a big deal.
We have three DME companies, durable medical equipment companies, that come in, and they actually have to take the recommendations from our therapist and parents to create that wheelchair. So
measurements.
Yes. No. Very professionally done.
On your website, I like this. It says that at No Limits Academy, you believe that equality is not to be confused with equal opportunity.
Right.
So expand a little bit on that.
So, if you're looking at two different groups, you're looking at typically developing children and non-typically developing children, like the children I serve, they can be equal, like in social settings and things like that. But you have to understand that they're not going to be typically taught in the same manner. And so that's what No Limits Academy does. We actually are looking at them individually through their life plans, not a legal document like an IEP, but a life plan that looks at the life of the child over a span of time to give to measure those outcomes as we move forward, not only physically, but educationally too, and giving that parent that involvement with the child with all of these professionals involved.
Right. And we often do shows about, what we can do to help a community, what we can do to help the disabled, what we can help just our listeners who are tuning in all the time. We talk about how we understand that not everybody has born with the same opportunity.
Right.
And so, so today, it's so fitting that our show today is about, all persons are not born with the same level of physical, cognitive, and social intellectual ability. Mm-hmm. And what do we do as human beings when we come across something like that? Because you see so much in your school, and you see the parents that are coming in, and these parents have to cope with so many things with these children. What happens if, these children, do they have health insurance? Are the families able to pay for their education at No Limits Academy? I mean, how do they pay for these things?
So, the health system right now is very diverse, if I can say. It's ever-changing and going into the HMOs or the MMAs, and how it's changing for this population is there's a lot of benefit cuts in certain areas for kids with physical disabilities and other disabilities. Access to care will be an issue because of the HMOs or MMAs. So you have that issue. And then you have the training of the parents on how to negotiate very high reaching, like Medicaid, demands.
Right. And so who's your advocate in Tallahassee for these children? Because if they keep cutting Medicaid and we don't have enough funds to help the parents to get people better qualified to help in the schools, to make sure that the children have the medication they need,
the equipment they need. Do you have to have an advocacy group to help you all?
We sit on, my business partner, Roberta Neves, and I sit on the Alliance for Pediatric Therapies. So we sit in front of the policymakers for Medicaid. We go to conferences. We make our voices heard, not only just for our clinic, but for all the clinics in Florida. I have reached out to some of our local representatives when I'm having issues with a particular, like, you know, student getting or patient getting certain things. I have them reach toward, like, Mayfield, who would be in our district, Senator Mayfield. I'm an advocate as well as someone pushing forth innovation, because I know that both have to happen at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the questions is, you know, how does what you do change more than the children that you're seeing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, so while all of this is going on and you're coming up with this protocol, all of these other things are changing.
Yeah, I mean,
the medical
field
is changing.
Yeah, it's a lot.
The information is changing. The equipment could be changing or getting better or not getting better, either way. So how is that happening for you?
Well, it is every day something that we strive toward, you know, to make sure that we are, like, meeting those needs of those children. But, yes, it is complicated, and that's why people don't grasp it as much, because it's not simple. Having a child, and I have two with cerebral palsy, it is negotiating both is difficult. Like, and then on top of that, pushing forward a whole agenda on that. It's like, you know, both with ability plus therapy and No Limits. But if I don't, who will?
Right.
Like,
so where do you see No Limits Academy in 10 years?
I see that there has been more understanding of this population in university levels. Because, as I told you before, my son, Shane, went from a quadriplegic to walking on hand canes. He also just graduated with his master's in philosophy and going into the philosophy of disability. There has to be that mindset change that children with disabilities can succeed in our society. And that only comes with hope and love, you know, and connecting that to the ability to research and understand, so more minds will say, yes, we need to. They put lots of money toward it. They don't put a lot of action toward
how
we solve.
It's all about empowerment and opportunities.
Right.
You want to empower the children so that they can have the same opportunities that all of us have. And so Laura, what are your hopes and dreams for Nathan? I mean, here he is. He's out of school. He's not in public school. He's with No Limits.
Yes.
He's with you. Because Nicole seems to be, she's an advocate. We've met her. She's so confident. And I'd like to meet Nathan. You know, we hear so many things from parents. We've had parents that come on the show that have children with seizures or different issues, medical issues. And it is very difficult. I mean, do you get enough? It is. Tell us a little bit about your life, because, I mean, it's not only about putting him into school and he's going to 8 hours in a school and he's got the equipment and he's got the wheelchairs and a Hoyer lift or a Sarah lift.
No.
But
when he comes home,
yeah, it's challenging, I would think.
Yes, it's challenging when he comes home because, number one, he's almost a nonverbal, so it's very difficult to understand his needs and wants. You've got as a parent, we know the signs, but others don't. He is an epileptic as well, so he has medication that he takes twice a day that is about $600 a month for his prescription. I do have insurance that covers for what I need, but you fall into having physical therapies that he needs. They're not in network.
So you have to pay out of pocket.
We have to pay out of pocket to get what he needs. And that's an expense. And then to go ahead and get Medicaid, try to get Medicaid and get on a list, we just came back and we're ineligible. To get Nathan to have Social Security, I was denied because I make too much money because they're on my income. And short of just $100, I was
Yeah. Well, that's what I've been saying on the campaign trail, too. And I've been saying, look it, people make X amount of money per hour. But out of that, you have to pay your lights, water, telephone. You have to pay mortgages, car payment, food. Health insurance, food, mm-hmm. clothe your children. And then you throw into the mix a mom who has a child that has a disability or a medical diagnosis and needs drugs that are $600 to $800 a month, a wheelchair, a lift. And that mom makes $100 more, and so therefore she can't qualify for Medicaid or Social Security. That's horrible. I mean, and then, you know, and so when we talk about these things, people look at you like you have 10 heads, but you're not the only one. We've met so many people
that are struggling
to make ends meet.
As individuals, too, like you go and you fight your battle to get yours, but somebody else who fights a better battle or figures out how to fight a better battle gets the mm-hmm. claim, and you don't, just because you don't know how to fight the battle. And that's what a lot of parents are in the middle of, is they just don't know where to turn or how to do that negotiation.
So Laura,
like you had said before.
So how can we help you, Laura? I mean, you fell short by $100. What can we do to help someone like you that needs the assistance? I mean, when do you get to take a break? You probably don't even get to take a break. Do you have anyone that, any social services in our community that could give you a respite care? Do you have anything? Because, I mean, this is challenging.
It's just the family.
Right. And so you have to continue to work and hope that No Limits Academy is always there for you. And Laura Jocelyn is there with her great team of professionals and her interdisciplinary team.
Yep.
And Laura, you wanted to jump in to say how we can help with financial situations.
Absolutely. So to help people that are, you know, needing the help, it is www.nolimitsacademy.com, and you can donate right there or on the website. And that's how people like Nathan and the children that I serve will benefit, is to make your voice heard, vote, and give to the charities that are near and dear to your heart.
Right, and you said there were two scholarships that the children qualify for. We have 2 minutes left. If you could quickly tell us about those scholarships, because I'm sure there's someone listening that's probably thinking, well, I'd like to get into that school, but how do I pay for it?
So the McKay Scholarship is where you can opt out of the public school system to take your money elsewhere into the private school sector. And the Gardner Scholarship was made by Senator Gardner, who is... you can take that scholarship and go into a private school setting or a charter school setting.
Right. And Laura, what can I do to help you? Because, I mean, I look at someone like you and I'm like, you know what? Ellen is absolutely correct. There are some people that know that if I make $12 or $13 an hour, but if I made less, I can qualify for Medicaid. And there's somebody like you that is working mm-hmm. and you don't qualify for anything.
It's sad because you kind of want to say, I want to work, I want to do what I got to do. If anybody, you know, donate to the No Limits Academy and make them a success, let them continue. If you want to donate that, and that would help me a lot.
That's awesome.
Right.
Well, another fantastic show here. Thank you, Laura Squared, the two Lauras who came to us with... from Ability Plus Therapy as well as No Limits Academy. Make sure that you donate if you find it in your heart. We'll make sure that all of that is posted on our Facebook page. And Charlie Min, thank you so much for calling in and educating us on the Inside Building 12. And next week, Sita, we got another great show.
We do.
See you next week, 1 o'clock.
I can't keep up, honestly.
Veterans Day.
I have to try to figure it out.
Yes.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI,